हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 17, The Lord Travels to Vrindavan, verses 82 to 146. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's brief visit to Varanasi. Finally, the Lord arrived with great happiness at the holy place called Kashi. There he took his bath in the bathing ghat known as Manikarnika, Srila Prabhupada. Kashi is another name for Varanasi, Banaras. It has been a place of pilgrimage since time immemorial. Two rivers named Ashi and Varuna merged there. Manikarnika is famous because, according to the opinion of great personalities, a bejeweled earring fell there from the ear of Lord Vishnu. According to some, it fell from the ear of Lord Shiva. The word mani means jewel and karnika means from the ear. According to some, Lord Vishwanath is the great physician who cures the disease of material existence by delivering a person through the ear, which receives the vibration of the holy name of Lord Ram. Because of this, the holy place is called Manikarnika. It is said that there is no better place than where the river Ganges flows, and the bathing ghat known as Manikarnika is especially sanctified because it is very dear to Lord Vishwanath. So that's not in the area of the Dashamedha, or it's in the no one knows. No. Yes. Okay. 217, 83 to 86. At that time, Tapan Mishra was taking his bath in the Ganges. He was astonished to see the Lord there. Tapan Mishra then began to think, I have heard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has accepted the renounced order. Thinking this, Tapan Mishra became very jubilant within his heart. He then clasped the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to cry. The Lord raised him up and embraced him. Tapan Mishra then took Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to visit the temple of Vishveshwara. Coming from there, they saw the lotus feet of Lord Bindu Madhava, Srila Prabhupada. The Bindu Madhava temple is the oldest Vishnu temple in Varanasi. At present, this temple is known as Veni Madhava. It is situated on the bank of the Ganges. Formerly, five rivers converged there, and they were named Dutapada, Kirdana, Saraswati, Ganga, and Jamuna. Now only the river Ganges is visible. The old temple of Bindu Madhava, which was visited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was later dismantled by Aurangzeb, the great Hindu-hating emperor of the Mughal dynasty. In the place of this temple, he constructed a big masjid, or mosque. Later, another temple was constructed by the side of the mosque, and this temple is still existing. In the temple of Bindu Madhava, there are deities of four-handed Narayan and the goddess Lakshmi. In front of these deities is a column of Sri Garuda, and along the side are deities of Lord Ram, Sita, Lakshman, and Sri Hanumanji. In the province of Maharashtra is a state known as Satara. During the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the native prince belonged to the Vaishnava cult. Being a Brahmana, he took charge of worshipping the deity. He was known as Sri Manta Balasahib. Sri Manta Balasahib Panta Maharaj. The state still bears the expenditure for temple maintenance. The first king in this dynasty to take charge of worship in the temple 200 years ago was Maharaj Jagat Jivan Rao Sahib. Anyone been there? No?
Okay.
Because I think it's on the other side of the river.
Yes, it is.
I kind of remember that where the main ghats are, it's up some distance. 217-87-89. With great pleasure, Tapan Misra brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home and rendered service unto him. Indeed, he began to dance, waving his cloth. He washed the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and afterwards he and his whole family drank the wash water. He also worshipped Balabhadra Bhattacharya and showed him respect. Tapan Misra invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take lunch at his house, and he had Balabhadra Bhattacharya cook. Srila Prabhupada. While at Varanasi, Banaras, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at the house of Tapan Misra. Near Tapan Misra's house was the bathing ghat known as Panchanadi Ghat. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to take his bath daily at this ghat, and he used to see the temple of Bindu Madhava. Then he would take his lunch at Tapan Misra's house. Near the Bindu Madhava temple is a big banyan tree, and it is said that after eating, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to rest beneath the tree. That banyan tree is still known today as Chaitanya Vata. Gradually, due to changes in language, the name became Yatana Vata. The local people still call that place Yatana Vata. From Chaitanya came to Yatana. At present, beside a lane, there is a tomb of Vallabhacharya, but there is no sign that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ever lived there. Vallabhacharya was also known as Mahaprabhu among his disciples. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu probably lived at Yatanavata, but there's no sign of Chandrasekhar's or Tapan Misra's house, nor is there any sign of the Mayavadi sannyasi Prakashananda Saraswati, with whom Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed the Vedanta Sutra. A little distance from Yatanavata is the temple of Gaura Narayana, established by Shashi Bhushana Niyogi Mahashai of Calcutta. During the time of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, this temple was managed by the mother-in-law of Shashi Bhushana and his brother-in-law Narayan Chandra Ghosh. 217-90-95. Yeah. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his rest after lunch, the son of Tapan Misra, named Raghu, used to massage his legs. The remnants of food left by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were taken by the whole family of Tapan Misra. When news spread that the Lord had come, Chandrasekhar came to see him. Chandrasekhar happened to be a friend of Tapan Misra, and he was long known to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his servant. He was a physician by caste, and by profession he was a clerk. At the time, he was living in Varanasi. When Chandrasekhar came there, he fell down before the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to cry. The Lord, standing up, embraced him out of his causeless mercy. Chandrasekhar said, "My dear Lord, you have bestowed your causeless mercy upon me because I am your old servant. Indeed, you have come here personally to give your audience. Due to my past deeds, I am residing at Varanasi. But here I do not hear anything but the words Maya and Brahman." Srila Prabhupada. The word prarabdhe, past deeds, is important in this verse. Since Chandrasekhar was a devotee, he was always eager to hear about Krishna and his transcendental pastimes. Most of the inhabitants of Benares were and are impersonalists, worshippers of Lord Shiva and followers of the Panchopasana method. The impersonalists imagine some form of impersonal Brahman, and to facilitate meditation, they concentrate upon the forms of Vishnu, Shiva, Ganesh, Surya, and Goddess Durga. Because right, to meditate on nothing doesn't work out very well. So therefore, then, they always use something to meditate on. So the Panchopasana, that's their method. You know, Buddhists use a wall or a candle, but they use Panchopasana. Actually, these Panchopasakas are not devotees of anyone. As it is said, to be a servant of everyone is to be a servant of no one. Yeah, I mean, is it North Indian saying, Barwali? No? You don't know it? Barwali? means Barawali, means 12 owners. So it means no one. So, you know, it's like I think when I heard it first, there was something about the temple car. And it was, you know, naturally falling apart in that. And then one Indian devotee said, Barawali. It's owned by 12 different people. So therefore, each one thinks the other one will take care, so no one takes care. So, yeah. Varanasi, or Kashi, is the chief holy place of pilgrimage for impersonalists, and it is not at all suitable for devotees. A Vaishnav likes to live in a Vishnu Tirtha, a place where Lord Vishnu's temples are present. In Varanasi, there are many hundreds and thousands of Lord Shiva's temples, or Panchopasaka temples. Consequently, Chandrasekhar expressed great unhappiness as he informed Lord Chaitanya that he was obliged to live in Benares due to his past misdeeds. As said in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Jurdat Yarambhakam Papam Yatsyat Parabdham Eva Tat. According to one's past deeds, one takes birth in a lower platform. Or one's misdeeds. According to one's past misdeeds, one takes birth on a lower platform. End quote. But in the Brahma Samhita 5.54, it is said, Karmani nirdahati kintu chapakti bhajam. There is no karma attached to the past deeds or misdeeds of one in devotional service. A devotee is not subjected to karma phala, the effect of fruitive activity. Karma phala is applicable to karmis, not bhaktas. There are three kinds of devotees. Those who are eternally on the transcendental platform, nitya siddha. Those who have been elevated to the transcendental platform by the execution of devotional service, sadhana siddha. And those who are neophytes advancing towards the perfectional platform, sadhaka. The sadhakas are generally becoming free from fruitive reaction. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.17 describes the symptoms of Bhakti Yoga thus. Kleshagni shubhata moksha laghuta kritsu durlabha sandrananda visheshatma shri krishna karshini chasa. Devotional service is klesh agni, even for beginners. This means that it reduces or nullifies all kinds of suffering. The word shubhada indicates that devotional service bestows all good fortune. And the word krishna akarshini indicates that devotional service gradually attracts Krishna towards the devotee. Consequently, a devotee is not subject to any sinful reaction. In the Bhagavad Gita 18.66, Krishna says, Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam praja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayasyami masuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Thus, a fully surrendered, sincere devotee immediately receives relief from all kinds of sinful reactions. There are three stages of fructification for sinful reaction. At one stage, one commits the sinful act. Before that, the seed of this act exists. And before that, there is ignorance whereby one commits the sin. Suffering is involved in all three stages. However, Krishna is merciful to his devotees and consequently immediately nullifies all three stages, the sin, the seed of sin, and the ignorance that leads one to sin. The Padma Purana confirms this. Aparabdham phalam papam kutam bijam phalan mukham krame naiva parliyeta vishnu bhakti ratat manam. For a further explanation of this topic, the nectar of devotion should be consulted. So maybe that's why Bindu Madhava is on the other side of the river. Because on the other side, it's all Panchopasakas and everything else. So. That way the devotees get at least a little distance. So devotional service, see here, is that there is no karma for the devotees. But at the same time, as Prabhupada mentioned, that their sadhakas are gradually becoming free from fruit of reaction. Is the the attachment to the previous identities, the attachment to particular activities, that's what then the neophyte is trying to get beyond. But how the reactions are coming, how they're being controlled and all that, that's by Krishna. It's not under the control of Maya by their previous action. Right? So the devotees then are beyond karma. But karma means action and reaction. So you're getting a result from previous activities. So that kind of situation is being created. And the devotee then has to work with that and go beyond that, because that's it. That's a difficulty, is that the Lord, the living entity, then has the tendency to remain attached, because that's what they've been doing. And so then in that way, if you talk about it's my karma, this and that, like you see Chandrasekhar, it you can match. But in, factually, devotees, once they take up, they have that shraddha, then they're not working under that anymore. Does that make sense? Now, what's happened here also, you have, here's what it said. You have one stage, sinful lack, before that the seed, and before that there is ignorance. So one's committing sin because, and what's sin? Things that are not connected to Krishna.
Yes.
So that's coming from avidya.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that means that's coming before you even start the whole process. Mm-hmm. Then there's material desire. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's all the seeds. Mm-hmm. Anytime you perform an activity, it produces seeds. So those seeds are all sitting there in stock from whatever we've been doing in the material world before this.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Then you actually you perform the activity. Right, based on the seed, so that seed then fructifies, and so it sprouts. So then you perform the activity,
mm-hmm.
Right? And so then that then makes you get your reaction. So the reaction is just something that's there. Now the difficulty is these things before the seed and the ignorance. So that's the thing, is bhakti will get rid of all that, because everybody talks about I've done the activity. It's, sprouted into a tree that is going to give this fruit. How can I avoid that fruit? And so, it means you deal with that or don't deal with that. That's the main problem is why is the sinful activity? Because of the seeds. Why are the seeds there? Because of ignorance. So the real question is how to get rid of that ignorance and those seeds. That's the actual point that devotional service can do that nothing else can do. Because, otherwise you do this and that and, try to find some trick to it, I like this place, it's very, very nice and that, but, all the guys say the vastu's really bad, so then, what can I do to make it all right? I put a mirror here and I put a little thing over there and I hang a bell over here and like that, that's... But the point is it's what's beforehand that is the problem. The problem is why do we are we inclined towards sin?
Mm-hmm.
Not how to get rid of reactions. Because the point is in reactions you can remember Krishna. But desire, seeds, and ignorance, you don't remember Krishna. That's the actual problem. It's not the reactions. It's what's before that. So that's what devotional service can get rid of. That's why, like you see the example of, Rupa Goswami, as he says in Nectar Devotion, either mentions about the seeds being soaked in water,
mm-hmm.
because they can't sprout if you just leave them in water,
mm-hmm.
or being put in a pan and roasted, and they won't sprout.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, they can't sprout. So the whole point is you're trying to stop these by getting rid of the ignorance. So if you get rid of the ignorance, you get rid of the seeds, then the rest of it you don't have to worry about. Because that anyway is controlled by Krishna, and you only get reactions that will be helpful to you in becoming Krishna conscious.
Mm-hmm. Is the root ignorance, or is the root desire? Or is desire a product of ignorance?
Means you have... Desire is not the problem. It's when you turn away from Krishna, now that desire is a problem. That desire comes up because of ignorance. Because ignorance means ignorance of Krishna. So as soon as we turn away from Krishna, we become Bahya Mukh, then we're under the Avidya Shakti. This is before the material nature. So we're not talking about ignorance as one of the three modes. We're talking about the Avidya Shakti. That's before being in the material world. So now, coming into the material world, then there's going to be desires. Right? You first come in as Brahma. So as Brahma, we can see, like our Brahma, you can get the opportunity to become Krishna conscious, go back to Godhead there. So you spend one lifetime in the material world as Brahma and go back to your natural position. Right? But if you don't do that, then Brahma sees everything. You know? So there can be a lot of interest generated. You know? And then, you know, we see from Brahma, then there's the Prajapatis and that, the great sages, and like that, then you keep sliding until you get down to Indragopas. You know? But at least Indragopas, then they're always in the news, you know, they become very famous and everything like that, you know, like for this last year they've been very, very famous, very influential, very powerful. But unfortunately, they don't even know what's going on. So, because once you've performed something, it produces a desire seed. You know, I do something, the desire to do it again is produced. You know what I'm saying? So you do have the aspect of seed sprouting, you know, tree then giving fruit. Mm-hmm. Right? So you have that aspect, but the point is where do the seeds come from? Right, and that's coming from the ignorance. So the ignorance, the seeds, are actually the important part. How the karma then makes you get action and reaction, that's not the main point. That's the part we always discuss. Yes. But you have to understand the others are before the whole cycle.
Yes. Yes.
So by turning to Krishna, then these things go away. Right? By the grace of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, one can give up material desire, then all these things are gone. Right? Then there's just, you know, one's conditioning, the attachments and all that, then that's there and you kind of just gradually by your service, those go away. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? No? Yeah. Udriti, translation of the above quoted from Padma Purana verse. There are different stages of dormant reactions to sinful activities to be observed in a sinful life. Sinful reactions may be just waiting to take effect, phulan mukha. Reactions may be still further dormant, kuta. Or the reactions may be in a seed-like state, bija. In any case, all types of sinful reactions are vanquished one after another. If a person engages in the devotional service of the Lord, of Lord Vishnu, Madhya Lila, 15.169 purport. Right? See, here's that means that just ready today, phulan mukha, means it's just about ready. You're there, the curb is there, the bus is there, and your phone rings. That's phulan mukha, right? Then you take that step, then you get hit by the bus. Now you got the result, right? So it's right there, right? Then you have it as dormant, kutaj, because it's a sprout, means it has to grow. Because the point is for you to get your reaction, it has to be just perfect for you. So you have to arrange, so much is arranged, the material energy, that it all comes together at that same time. Because the point is the truck driver, you know, he sees the crossings, like something distracts him. You always see and see, check for the buses and all that, because you always are careful, but something distracts you. So that all has to be perfectly arranged. Right? Then that comes from the seed. So that's generally the part that we look at is this. Right? And then you have the reaction. Now you're sitting in the hospital, so you have the reaction, right? So now you can enjoy, right? So but when you're discussing it, as Srila Prabhupada is pointing out before, that and that there's three stages, it means you have the ignorance, that then turns into desire seeds, that turns into then actions that go in this cycle. So until you remove the ignorance, you can't get rid of the seeds. And if you don't get rid of the seeds, you can't get rid of there being ongoing reactions. But because the desire seeds are, you want to do that, and so when you do that, then the process, then the sprout and all this. Does that make sense? So depending upon how it's discussing, it may be talking about different angles of this, because sometimes it becomes it. One thinks it's all linear like that, but the point is you have to take that linear back to one's ignorance of turning away from Krishna, and therefore developing desire. Does that make sense? Yeah. Then Udriti, Nectar Devotion, Chapter 1. It is stated in the Padma Purana there are four kinds of effects due to sinful activities, which are listed as follows. 1. The effect which is not yet fructified. 2. The effect which is lying as seed. The effect which is already mature, and the effect which is almost mature. Right? So mature means that's what you already have.
It's prarabdha.
Yes, prarabdha.
So it's just the opposite.
No, it's here. Effect which is not fructified, that's phula and mukta. The fruit which is like, or even no, who is almost mature. So the effect which is not yet fructified, that's kutaj. The effect which is lying as seeds, that's bija. The effect which is already mature, that was what you said? Parabdha. And then 4, the effect which is almost mature, that's fulan mukha. So it's not necessarily in the order of how it goes down. It's just that these are the aspects that are there. And so when you perform a activity, another seed is created. You sprouted this one, but in sprouting this one, the next one's right there. You know, it's like that demon, you know, one drop of blood then, you know, makes more, you know, it's just, yeah, it's like that. So yeah. It is also stated that all these four effects become immediately vanquished for those who surrender under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, and become engaged in his devotional service and full consciousness. So for the devotees, that the seeds go, right? Because that's the most important. But at the same time, is you're not, it's not Maya who's in control of the kutaj, the fulan mukha, and parabdha. That Krishna is taking care. Means it'll still come through the agency of Maya. You know, unless you're Prahlad Maharaj, then Krishna will come himself and take care. Right? But the point is that he's taking care, overseeing. So how much will be there in that? Have you ever, you know, seen or heard of the thing where the guy looks at, in this time this is going to happen. You're going to be so, this, that, blah, blah, doomsday and everything. The day, you know, the time comes, nothing happens.
Yes, yes.
No?
Let's see. On Monday. Let's see. That's what they all say.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, because they're so confident that, no, here it is written. I know the thing. It's going to happen like this. And I've watched it so many times that it never happens.
It happens in some other time.
That's the whole point, is that then if it happens another time, that means Krishna must be controlling it, because according to the karma, it should have happened at this time. But it didn't. It happened in another time. But at the same time, he only talked about that one. He maybe didn't. You know, so that's the whole thing. Krishna decides, depending on the attitude. Something may happen. If the attitude's not good, something needs to happen. Attitudes, because with Maya, if you figure out this is wrong, bad, your mentality, you atone in that, you're free. But it's not that the reaction doesn't happen. But in Krishna consciousness, it doesn't have to happen, because it's only there for you to at some point decide not to do this stuff. And why not do this stuff? Because you should serve Krishna. So if you've taken up service to Krishna, there's technically no reason for it, other than your attachments to those things, and then they just slowly break down the attachments, so you become more attached to Krishna. That's the... Is that... We're good? Because otherwise, this is one of those ones that just, you know, it's like a, you know, another can of worms. You know? You know, do I have free will, or is it all predestined? You know, that's another one of them. Yes.
Also, the difficulty with this statement is we all practicing devotees, but according to our experience, we still experience the effect of karma.
Right.
So the experience that we have doesn't match what's written. But then as you explain it, it makes sense. But without it, it's just a statement.
Yes.
But our experience tells us, you know, it's not like that. So
yeah.
It's difficult.
That's fair. Because there'll be two, well, I mean, there's two factors here. One is, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned, that in Krishna karma, you know, something very disastrous is supposed to happen and something very small happens. You get a little nick on your finger rather than, you know, losing your head or something, you know. So, you know, like that. So that's the point is it's reduced because it doesn't need to be. The other one is whatever's gone on, but now it's just enough that you keep reminding that material world is not a great place. So that's one aspect that should be known, is that whatever happens, it would have been worse. You know, they're thinking, oh no, but it's still the same as if I was not being a devotee. No, it would have been, you would have got the full brunt. Here, then you just got a token. You know, just something to... The other thing is that there's also, generally from the materialistic background of karma, is karma means I perform duties, it's dharma, it's religion, I should get nice facility. So if I'm not getting, that means there's something wrong. So there's this idea is that I should be getting nice material facility. When it's like, no, we're supposed to be becoming Krishna consciousness, it's not about nice facility. We endeavor for nice facility too, so we can, you know, for doing a nice service for Krishna. But it's not about the facility, it's just something to do, something to keep you busy. Right? Something to remind us, you know, to use as a way to show, express our, you know, appreciation or affection for Krishna. Right? You know, you try to get the best, you try to do the best and all that kind of thing. Does that make sense? So if there's this idea that I should get more, that's why these things keep going on, because at some point you have to give up the idea that these are going to make you happy. So wherever we're generally the most attached, that's generally where you know, the problem comes up. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, it's been a long day, and you decide, no, I deserve this, I deserve a break, I work so hard. And then you'll see as you try to relax, there's a million things that disturb it. Right? But if it's just, you know, you've done the service, you're tired, you sit down like this, and you're not thinking, I deserve this, and I'll really enjoy this, you know, this break, then things may go perfectly fine. Because in other words, you've done your service, you're continuing, you're thinking about Krishna and that. You're not thinking, yes, now here's my reward. Because as soon as you get that, then that's what's that got to do with Krishna consciousness? So then Krishna might, you know, poke a little bit. No? Yeah.
No, it does happen to devotees who, after doing so much service for the Sankirtan movement, that somehow or other they just end up out there in the big world. And we're not with them to see what they're going through, but most of the time it's heavy.
Yeah.
It's heavy. You know, they go somewhere to lick their wounds, and then when they're ready to come back,
Yeah, but then they come back and they have a nice attitude. Because the thing is that the process of that surrender to Krishna, that being freed from, you know, how you say, fault finding, all that, it's still the same thing. So if you stay inside or you go outside, it's still the same thing. It's still Krishna's world. And so if you go out and criticize, and I didn't get noticed, and this and that, but is that why you joined, to get noticed? You know, I mean, if you go back, all these devotees that are out there doing like that, when they joined in those first few years, was that their attitude? Now I found the place where I'm going to be recognized, I'm going to become great, I'm going to be... No, it was about full surrender. So if they go off into that, you'll see... And you still see some of those Sankirtan devotees still going today. No problems. So attitude is very important, because if one becomes proud, then why will it work out? If Krishna will correct the gopis,
yes,
why won't he correct us? And that's his affection. Otherwise, yeah, you could go on thinking you're something special, and then, you know, and then at the end you figure out maybe you're not. But this way, then they get a chance to figure it out so that they can go back to Godhead. But the principle is the same. Because the point is you know, will say is it's not fair, it's not this and that. The material world is not a nice place. You know, that's like, you know, I'm trying to set up, you know, how you say, a wonderful living arrangement inside the toilet. You know, and getting upset, you know, why is this and that and so many things happening and, you know, that, you know. This guy's always banging on the door, you know, like that. And, you know, why can't they just leave me alone, you know, like that. You know, no, it's the toilet, you know. So then it's just that it's unfortunate. But you see, as if they get it together, then they'll be at that advanced stage wherever they were. So that's that one should also understand is those who are have done so much service in that, and if they get distracted, it's not that any of that's lost. So at the time when they come back and have that mood of surrender, they'll be right back where they were. So that's why then they, you know, you won't criticize, you know, this one, that one. No, it's just it's just a matter of they need to work these things out. And so then once they work them out, then they'll continue from where they were. Right? Because Krishna doesn't forget what you've done. But at the same time, as you can't come with that attitude into the spiritual world and, you know, come up to, you know, bumping, you know, Lalita Devi, hey, you know how many books I distributed? Man, I was the man back in the day. You know, it's like, they don't care. It's nice that you've done something for Lord Chaitanya like that, but you can't be proud of it. We never see any of the devotees. That's the one thing that goes on here. None of the devotees, and they're doing so much. Prataparudra is the king and how humble he is. Everybody else, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is the greatest scholar in India. It means recognized, not just we're saying. He was recognized. Right? You know, so you have all these personalities. You know, Jiva Goswami, as far as, you know, the technical grammar, logic, and that, then there was no one greater than him. Like that. You know, so Rupa and Sanatan, I mean, what they were dealing with, you know, it's like King Prataparudra was there, but and Ramananda Rai was, you know, working for him, and how great he is. Madras province is big. It's not a small place. But then Sanatan Goswami, he was the prime minister for, you know, whole of East India. Like that. And so, and so good at it that the Nawab considered him like his brother. You know? So, nothing, but you never hear of this kind of pride, so that pride has to go. Everything else is perfect, is fabulous, but the pride has to go. And so if you can let it go yourself, then everything will go smoothly and you'll set the standard for everybody else. But if it's not, then, you know, as long as you maintain it and push it and exchange like this and no, this is this and it's got to be that, then Krishna will keep pushing back. You know, I did so much. It's like, you know, yeah, right, Krishna's not done anything, you know. So it's just like that, then it has to it'll balance out. So yeah, but the point is the suffering that's there, it's always smaller than what it would be. So if we're thinking it's so great, then just imagine what it would have been otherwise. So Krishna is very kind. But for the individual at the time, you know, these may not be, how you say, this discussion may not be solace for someone who's going through a hard time. Right? Because, yes, the things that are happening to them may be wrong by what you're doing now, but you don't know what you did before, you know? You know, maybe you did something that for 100 lifetimes you'll get this trouble. So that you can get rid of all that in one lifetime, and it's not as heavy as it would have been otherwise, then that's pretty good. You know? Because we always look at just what's right now, but what about before? You know?
The old fun, I think that suffering is... It's more or less it is a way that we can learn something.
Yes. Yes, yes.
But when there is no suffering, sometimes difficult to learn.
Yes, with no suffering, sometimes because we tend to forget Krishna and yes. this and that. You know.
When we suffer, actually, there is we go to the essential.
We go to
the essence, the main.
When there's suffering, yes, you look at the essence.
If you want to become Krishna conscious, we are more inspired to surrender, at least to connect seriously to Krishna.
Yes, yes, yes. No, so it's all there just to bring us to surrender to Krishna. Because point is also as you advance, it doesn't matter what happens, it doesn't bother you. Like Prahlad Maharaj, you know, who's got that bad of a problem? Right? And so, but you see in here, this glory is always absorbed, so for him it's not a disturbance. For us it's a disturbance because we still have that kind of connection or identity and these kind of things. So that's the thing is, for us, we become purified. But for the advanced devotees, the trouble that they go through, that sets example for us how to get through the trouble that you're going to go through by not being advanced. Or being less advanced. Is that, you know? Because the point is, doesn't matter what happens, then you're Krishna conscious, you'll go through it. And it'll always come out something wonderful. When? It'll be according to whatever Krishna wants when he wants it.
Most of the time, we can realize that after the suffering is finished.
Yes, yes.
So we think, okay, we get some purification. It was good. It was not easy to accept. No?
Yes, but then it's realization. Then.
Yes, yes.
Because before, is there may be understanding, but it's a problem. But then afterwards, you see, oh, that's realization. Then as that becomes a value, then it bothers us less and less.
Yes, yes.
So there may be things that are happening worse than before, but they don't bother us as much now, or don't bother us at all.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No? Those effects described as almost mature refer to the distress from which one is suffering at present, and the effects lying as seed are the ones in the core of the heart, where there is a certain stock of sinful desires which are like seeds. The Sanskrit word kutam means that they are almost ready to produce the seed, or the effect of the seed. An immature effect refers to the case where the seedling has not begun. From this statement of Padma Purana, it is understood that material contamination is very subtle. Its beginning, its fruition, and results, and how one suffers each result in the form of distress are part of a great chain. When one catches some disease, it is often very difficult to ascertain the cause of the disease, where it originated and how it is maturing. The suffering of a disease, however, does not appear all of a sudden. It actually takes time. And as in the medical field, for precaution's sake, the doctor injects a vaccine to prevent the growing of contamination. The practical injections to stop all the fructifications of the seeds of our sinful activities is simply engagement in Krishna consciousness. So it seems here also the kutaj means that it's going to that you have that desire to do an activity, so seed is being produced also that you're going to take up, and it produces the results after. So it seems that they also have multiple functions to make it even more subtle and confusing. But the main point is if you're Krishna conscious, these things all stop. In other words, if it's so hard to understand, then the only way to get rid of it is Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Is it that you stop, or is it that you ignore it because you are absorbed in Krishna consciousness?
The point is if you don't notice, does it matter?
It doesn't matter.
You know, because it's just like, let us say we're very sensitive to sound, so we could be distracted by those birds. But if we're absorbed in the discussion, we don't even notice the birds. It's not that the ears and the senses don't bring in that information, just the mind doesn't care. Because it's not that the point we're focusing on is the only thing that the senses bring in. It's the only one that the mind is interested in. I think that the karmis say that, I don't remember, I think it's every minute 40,000 bits of information come in. So during that time, the mind is just choosing what it wants to work with. Because that's the point, is whatever comes in, you work with what you want to work with. That's why everything outside of yourself that the senses perceive is all abstract. Because it only becomes concrete when you want to work with it. If you don't want to work with it, it doesn't matter.
It's interesting because I've had ear buzzing for the last 12 years, like right now. If I want to pay attention, it's there. I don't pay attention, it's
not there. That's not there. Yeah, it's like that. It's just a matter of what you want, what you want. And so if we're disturbed, then everything disturbs us. But if we're not disturbed, nothing disturbs us. So the point is, be absorbed in Krishna, nothing disturbs you. It doesn't mean the effects aren't there, because you're in the material world. What do you want?
Yes.
You know?
Bhakti Rasamrita Swami did some research about how many different kind of thoughts go through the mind of the devotee during the job.
Okay.
And he said it goes between 150 and 700.
Oh, he's interviewed devotees.
How many different thoughts?
Yes, but it's not necessarily that one person, all 700, are going through. You know, it'll be according to the individual and their values and things like that. But still, that means the variety is, and that's just who he's talked to. If he talks to more.
Thoughts or ideas, or, you know, you have thought and then the continuation.
Right? Yeah, there's the thinking, the feeling, the willing. Then there's the action. So you're sitting there, you're thinking about the. You know, about the morning, at the Mahaprasad, the pizza, then you're feeling, yeah, maybe I could get, then you're, yeah, into it, and then the shop opens, and then you get up and walk there. So then, you know.
At least you're there. At least you're there.
Yes. Otherwise?
Otherwise you see them only and think you're going to go to
sleep. Yeah. Yeah, so that's it. Sleep, pizza. Sleep, pizza. Yeah.
Pizza and
sleep.
Pizza and
sleep. Okay, it's a new one. Chant until the shop opens, get your pizza, go home, eat it, go to sleep. Yeah. No, because the point is there's unlimited aspects, because the point is that all the 8,400,000 options are there, and that's the major, that's the categories, you know. Then there's going to be within that is details, right? You know, I mean, there are, you know, aquatics is one, plants and that are another. Then you're going to have the you know, how you say, the reptiles, insects, you know, all the bugs, all that kind of thing. Then you're going to have the birds, then you're going to have the beasts and the humans. Then within those you have all the subcategories, and then, you know, like this, it just keeps going down. So the options that are there are great. So a particular individual, what he'll be following will be what is there within his memory, within his impressions, his samskars. Because that's what you do. You see something, you follow that. You know what I'm saying? Let's say, okay, for you, then birds have been the thing, and nature, and nice, and appreciating nature, so birds making noise is nice. So when you hear them, then that's nice. For someone else, when they're coming there, harassing, banging on the window, anything they put out, they eat, they take away, like that. So when they hear birds, they don't like the sound. So you can get, you know, the same thing, you know. You know, it's like you're walking down, you know, going through the train station, getting, you know, for getting on the train and all that. Do people still do that, or that doesn't happen anymore?
Train?
Train.
Nowadays, I don't think they're trained, but it was a time when he was
hot. I mean, everybody can relate to the train platform example. So then you'll be going. And then, so you might have one person that, you know, they see those guys sitting over in the corner and all that, like that. And they're thinking, kind of move to this side and get in. Another one's thinking, oh, those poor guys and all that. And yeah, it's so tough. And why don't people take care, you know, like that. You know, so it depends upon your mood. So the same thing can have different effects on different people. That's why the objects of perception are considered abstract, because they're just they're there in their position. How you perceive them, that's the concrete aspect for you. But what's concrete for you may not be for someone else. So that's why then you associate with those who have a like-minded. That's why it says like-minded. So we have something to talk about. The same situations are basically similar. You know, and then you relate that scene to Krishna. Because otherwise you want to talk about something like that and somebody else, it's not their thing, and then they can get so disturbed or offended. You can't even talk. You know? So you have to have those that... what's concrete for them is similar to what's concrete for you. Right? And then the thing that's concrete for everybody, that's Krishna. So that's the one point that holds all natures together. And then after that, then it's within what's important to you. Is that... Udriti, Bhagavad Gita 9.2 purport. For those engaged in devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all sinful reactions, whether fructified or in the stalk or in the form of seed, quickly vanish. Therefore, the purifying potency of devotional service is very strong, and it is called pavitram uttamam, the purest. Uttama means transcendental. Tamas means this material world, or darkness, and uttama means that which is transcendental to material activities. Devotional activities are never to be considered material, although sometimes it appears that devotees are engaged just like ordinary men. One who can see and is familiar with devotional service will know that they are not material activities. They are all spiritual and devotional, uncontaminated by the material modes of nature. Right? Because they're doing everything connected to Krishna. The form of it may look the same, but that's pretty straightforward. You know, like we said, you're cooking a recipe, and following the recipe, you're cooking for Krishna or not cooking for Krishna, but the recipe's the same. So one's engaged in household life, one has an occupation, it's the same thing. But one's going for their own sense gratification, the other's going because then they can take care of themselves in Krishna consciousness. So that's the whole point, is that if you take up Krishna consciousness, all these things, it all adjusts. You know, it doesn't mean it's not the material world, it's adjust. It doesn't bother, it supports. And it comes to the point where, yes, you don't see any problems. Like Haridas Thakur, he didn't see problems. You know? Like that. But, you know, he just continuing in his service. Didn't mean that there weren't some problems, but they're not problems anymore.
But now, this example, like Prahlad Maharaj, Haridas Thakur, of course, it seems, they are Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. But they are extreme example.
They're extreme example because we want extreme results. No?
Meaning what?
Meaning, if we go back, then we're looking at it that because I'm performing religious activities, I should be living on the heavenly planets. You know, I should be respected like Indra. I should have the authority like that. And each one is thinking that. Hence, whoever works with community has a lot of problem. Because they're thinking, I'm going to get material benefit from this. And so, therefore, these examples are there, is that that's not how you rise above that there's no problems. No problems doesn't mean you're living in swarga. No problems means they don't affect you. You don't care. It's like you walk down the street and the dogs are fighting over there. What do you care? Does that make sense? So there's a difference in approach. You're going beyond. You're going to aprakrita. But we're thinking, no, I'm going to get swarga. You know, like he was saying before. Big Sankirtan devotees, big anybody. I mean, I know one. I collected this much and this and that, and no one recognized me, and they left, went out, and, you know, hey, I'm a big guy, I'll go out, and he goes out and thinks he's going to walk into the corporate world and be the big guy, and he found out he wasn't. And then he's really bummed out. And this guy was the biggest Sankirtan wala in one country. You know? So, you know, you get that. Or someone else, I've been here long, how come he gets the apartment? I've been here, I've done more service than him, why is he, he's new, you know, just because, okay, he can manage, why does he get it? You know, I've been here for 20 years, he's only been here, you know, he's only been a devotee 3 years, why is he now the manager, why is he in the position, why is it this, why that, I'm a Prabhupada disciple, he's not a Prabhupada disciple, you know, it's like, what has any of this got to do with reality? It's who can manage, they're the one who does it. And yeah, the president gets that flat so he can work all, you know, do that all day. And you can't do that, you won't do that, but you want the facility. You know what I'm saying? So this thing, it has very, on the social platform, the community platform, we can't run community because of these problems. People expect the world for, you know, they've done something wonderful, yes, but then how does that work? You know, okay, if the women are thinking that, that's one thing. But if the men are thinking that, it's as stupid as the guy, he bought flowers for his wife for, you know, let's say, you know, the middle of February or something. And so then he thinks that's going to give, you know, fantastic results eternally. No, for 3 days, you know, then things will go very smoothly. Okay, now he's got, you know, 362 days to work on. So the thing is that somehow you do this, Krishna, and that's it forever. You know, it's just going, you know, as I walk down the street, everyone's there bowing down, and that flowers are showering from. But you look at the attitude. This guy's like, what are you talking about? The service they're doing is fabulous. It's amazing. But like we said, it'll never be lost. But the attitude has to go. You know? Yeah. And so that's the whole thing, is just that, you know, where's my material facilities? It's like, you know. So it's like you work with them and it works out. And the thing is, you have it, still you shouldn't be attached to it. Yudhishthira Maharaj had, you know, I'm Indraprastha. And then they're living in the forest. And then he has it back again. Then they leave for the forest. You know, so they were living in the forest, came there, went to the forest, came back there, went to the forest, came back again, went to the forest. So the whole point is that they're absorbed in Krishna, and that's the perfection. That's what's wonderful. That's what Yudhishthira Maharaj's point was in the first canto. Is that, you know, that person who's so dear and took care and gave everything, he's the one that's of value. These other things are just symptoms of Krishna's, you know, interaction. So that's the significance there of giving these extreme examples, because one, if it's bad, we always think that we're in the worst situation. No, it's the examples in Shastra are way worse, and they're Krishna conscious. We have it less worse, and we're not Krishna conscious. I can't be Krishna conscious because, you know, everybody, you know, is trying to, you know, harass my position. But, you know, so what do you mean? You had 100 guys after Yudhishthira. 100. You got 2 or 3. You know? Like that. And here it's just they're from different places. This is the same family. So you're not going to get worse. That's one of the aspects. And two is that being transcendental is the only way to get rid of the problems. Because even if you have, one thinks, oh, if I had this, there'd be no problems. No, you have that. Then there's, like, you have, what is it? You know, oh, you know, if we had, you know, how come we got the tile? How come we don't have the marble bathroom? So you get the marble bathroom. Then you find out if you don't scrub it, it turns, the water makes it yellow. So you got to work. It's not that there's this perfection. That's called the heavenly planets. And so if one thinks that, no, by doing devotional service, I should get all good material facility without any difficulty, without any distress, that's first class ticket to the heavenly planets. And then for, some time, you'll have less problem. Unless Indra has a problem, if some demon shows up and that, and kicks them all out, then only you'll have some problem. Right? It says, we're thinking, I have to live in such a small place. Can you imagine living inside the stem of a lotus? That's where Indra had to live. Right? When he got booted out, You know what I'm saying? And it's not he can take up the whole lotus. He can only take up one of those holes. And there's five holes in the stem. So that means he gets about, maybe 2.5 millimeters. He's got to stay in that. So definitely we're doing better than he is. Because he doesn't even have an attached bath, right? So can you imagine being in the stem and you got to go to the bathroom, so.
Just goes down.
Yeah, okay, that's there. That's just goes down. Yeah, it goes down the hole. Yeah, okay. Yeah, good work. Okay. We solved that problem. Okay, so he's not doing so bad. So these things are there, and so if we catch them, then we can move forward nicely. But if not, then we have to be kind of reminded. So that's the thing. You see anybody who becomes proud, then there's a problem. Somebody becomes envious, there's a problem. Somebody becomes illusioned, there's a problem. Greedy, there's a problem. There's all these things, they're problems. So it's not that I'm a devotee, there won't be problems for me. They will. It's just the math. That's just how the material world works. You stick your finger in fire, you get burnt. Doesn't matter who you are. So that we have to see is that they can be overcome by Krishna consciousness. They're unaffected by the material world in Krishna consciousness. That the material world is what it is, even though I take up Krishna consciousness. So we want a solution. That's going back to Godhead, not making a nicer place here. Otherwise, the demigods are neophyte devotees. They're all third-class devotees. No one who's not a devotee is a demigod. They're all demigods. They're all devotees. They have that kind of facility and opulence and power, and they're not devotees, they're the demons. The asuras, the yakshas, something else. Does that make sense? Because you can't do administration for Lord Vishnu if you're not a devotee. But they want the position, they want the authority, and it's still, even their devotees. Indra ends up, as we said, living in a lotus flower,
Covered with eyes.
Yeah, covered with eyes, so that, and you see why. It's not that he was just there doing his job so wonderfully, and then, one day he woke up and he had all these eyes, and it's kind of like, why did this happen? No, he does something foolish. Does that make sense? Brahma does something foolish. Like this. So that's the point, is that these are great personalities. You do something wrong, this happens. So if things are not going right for you, then there is the possibility that there's something you can learn. It doesn't mean that the medium it's coming through, someone else is not wrong. But why is it happening to you? Yeah. Because that you wouldn't get that unless it's part of your purification. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's just the way it works. So the pleasantness is always there. The point bringing it always to Krishna is there. But if there's moments when we're not quite comfortable with that, then there's always the, the verses like Manda Sumanda Mataya, all these different things, Griha Supta, what's Griha Sutapta, all these ones, your attachments and that, like that, and all these things are reminded. So that's why you see everything going along, then now and again those stories are there, and then it goes along, just to remind us that it's always there. It can be very helpful. Pingala had a bad night. She became self-realized from that. So it's not a bad thing. You know. Like that. Nriga saw Lord Vishnu. You know, Krishna. He saw Krishna. So, you know, things happen. That's it. Karma happens. Yeah, so it's just a matter of that. Because generally we only talk about karma and why it shouldn't be there, and, you know, I'm doing devotional service when it's bad. If it's good material from piety, we're not complaining at all. It's like, oh no, this piety is going to get in the way of my devotional service. We're not saying that. Yeah. And then, like you said, we forget Krishna. So then it swings back the other way, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah? No?
Yeah. I mean, until today, the Christians, back to the abstract and concrete,
yes,
they debate whether the pain that Jesus was experiencing, whether it was abstract or concrete. They have like this, this is like a main discussion, whether he was actually suffering or it's just a shock, but he didn't experience it.
Yes?
I heard devotees saying the same about Haridas Thakur.
Yeah.
About Haridas Thakur.
I mean, I just wanted to bring an abstract example.
Okay.
But it's the same kind of principle.
Srila Prabhupada. About Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah. So but the point is that what's the purpose of, means there's two sides there. So what's the purpose of each side? What are they trying to establish?
Well,
keeping the abstract one of Jesus, okay? So
yeah. Jesus.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
I mean, nobody minds Jesus. No.
Okay. We're coming up to the, what do you call it? What is it? Oh, it's the Janma, right? So we're coming.
Yeah, Janma is next.
But I mean, how it's said is, it means, in English you're saying Jesus, but in the local language, how is the word?
Yeshua.
Yeah. And Prabhupada said the Christ is actually comes from Christos.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Yeshua Christos.
Yeah.
So then his Janma, you know, Titi is coming up, you know.
Yeah, but even they say it was in February, not in December.
I've heard in August. Definitely not this time. This was the big pagan festival. Like that. And so just because it was the biggest festival, then they wanted to make it about him, so
it's all mixed, actually.
Anyway, if our gurus can have few Vyasa Puja, so Jesus also can have few.
Yes, okay.
Different times, different places.
Yes. Yes, yes. Can have. Yes, exactly. So now the point in there is, okay. What is the reason that they want to establish that he actually suffered?
Because he takes the sins.
He takes the sins. Because if he didn't suffer, is he really taking the sins? You know, am I getting my money's worth here? You know, I'm putting all this faith in him, and then is he taking all my sins because then he really suffered? Because I've done a lot of stuff, you know, so I want to make sure he really suffered, that it all went. Because if he didn't suffer, I'm not sure, you know. Yeah, I'm not confident about that. And then what are the other ones meaning when they're saying that, no, he didn't? Right? You know, because that'll be more the God-conscious aspect, and that, you know, he's transcendental to that. So even though those things factually happen, and it's not that they don't cause a disturbance, but he's absorbed in the Lord, so he's unaffected. So those that are worried about him, then they would be more talking that kind of aspect.
There's then third point.
Third point. Okay.
Because if he didn't suffer, I mean, he didn't experience that suffering, then he cannot understand our suffering because we experienced that.
That's a bang your head on the table.
That's the one I heard. That's all Jesus
though. Oh, okay. So they want to establish, but then that means then if he didn't, then he doesn't understand. So then what's their position, their relationship then with him?
I'm not talking about Jesus.
Oh.
No, he does understand because he says they don't know what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
He's forgiven. They don't know what they do.
Doing, yeah. Yeah, so the point is that these aren't where one dwells. You know, the Vaishnavas, these aspects are not the prominent aspect. They don't put it, like you saw, Ratha Yatra, then big thing on going down, but going back just mentions, you know, a few major points and that's it. I think the Ratha Yatra, the return Roth happened in half a page, like that. But the going Roth was a few chapters, you know. And all that. So the disappearance aspect is not there. You know, it's something that happens, and then how they deal with it, they're absorbed in the Lord. So the point is he can be absorbed and unaffected at the same time. It's not that he's not rising above that kind of pain. You know? So it's, yeah. Yeah. So in other words, if that kind of conversation comes up, that's a great time to excuse yourself to, you know, for some important work like going to the bathroom or something.
So it's obvious it's in Arokya, but then people won't accept it, so they want the discussion, they want the juice. You know?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that, you know, so that makes them on the Roman side because they want the Jews?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the whole thing comes up is that, so do they want Krishna or they want the material gossip? They want, that means, the material gossip's the easy one to have, you know? And it's not that now you're becoming more Krishna conscious by this kind of applying it here. You know, for that you need that juice, you know, hey, go, that's what internet's for, you know? And then when you're ready for Krishna, then you come back and discuss things nicely. Because these things is that, why is it has to be one or the other? Why can't both aspects be there? You know. So these things are there. You know, there's you know, it's like Prabhupada said, what was it when he was in the hospital in New York and they were doing all the spinal taps and everything. You know, spinal taps? They take the a sample out of the backbone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They use this monster fat needle. It's like for horses or something ridiculous. And so then when, you know, someone asks him about it, and Prabhupada says, I tolerate. So it means it's a disturbance. You know? But because they remember Krishna, they can get through. So that's the difficulty, is that, you know, it's always one extreme or the other or this or that, or, you know, like, you know, it's like, you know, it has to be a soap opera, otherwise it's, you know, no juice. But, you know, what to do? So if you can, try to avoid these things. If not, then take it back the other way. You know, how you say it's like the aspect of, you know, working off the center. So when something comes in, you just use it to keep it going. You know?
Oh, wow.
So you have that aspect, is that getting to this. Why do you want to know? What's your, it means, if you know, someone's arguing, no, he felt or he didn't feel, why? Why do you, what is your point of why? Not whether he did or not. Why is it important? Then you bring it back to them, and then you might find it gets uncomfortable for them and the conversation stops.
Very uncomfortable.
Yeah, because it's otherwise, you know, okay, you want this why do you want this 3-hour conversation? You know? And so then what's your motive? What are you trying to establish by this? You know, and then this is what you want to accomplish, and why is that? What mentality is behind that? What's your attitude there? And you just follow it back. Follow the trail. And then at some point, then they'll lose interest. Because otherwise, then, these things aren't important at all, you know. Because the whole thing was is that I'm not sure when it was introduced, but at some point, then the cross being the symbol that was introduced later.
cross.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, much later.
The Catholic Church.
Yes, but even later, it wasn't immediately.
Yes.
You know? Like that. And even then, they had him on it.
What did they have before?
Yeah, that's the point. Before that, I mean, before that, they were Jewish, so they probably had a Morgan David around their neck, so.
Would have stuck him on it.
Huh? The point is how he lived is what's important, but they make it now how he died. He died for our sins. And okay, he died for your sins, but are you going to your life follow what he did in his life to show you how you should live your life? No, that they don't want to do. They just want to know that this guy died for my sins so I can live my life however I like. So then, you know, then how important is it? You know, why not take the example, living example? You know, but then they'll have the discussion: did he live or not? Was it one person? Was it two? Was it three? You know, like that. So, in other words,
did he go to India?
I think when they mentioned the Prabhupada about the Essenian Bible, Prabhupada said that makes sense because he was saying, why would this happen to him? Like that, you know. So then Prabhupada seemed to favor that kind of direction because otherwise he was here. Then he goes back, preaches. That doesn't work out. Come back here. You know, at least here they're not going to bother you. We're good.
It's a good topic for Friday.
For?
It's a good topic for Friday.
Yes, just at the twilight, yes. 2.17.96, Chandrasekhar continued, there is no talk at Varanasi other than discussions on the six philosophical theses. Nonetheless, Tapan Mishra has been very kind to me, for he speaks about topics related to Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. The six philosophical theses are, 1. Vaisheshika, propounded by Kanada Rishi. 2. Nyaya, propounded by Gautama Rishi. 3. Yoga or mysticism, propounded by Patanjali Rishi. 4. The philosophy of Shankya, propounded by Kapila Rishi. 5. The philosophy of Karma Mimamsa, propounded by Jaimini Rishi. And 6. The philosophy of Brahma Mimamsa or Vedanta, the ultimate conclusion of the absolute truth, Janmadyasya Yataha, Srimad Bhagavatam 111, propounded by Vedavyas. Actually, Vedanta philosophy is meant for the devotees because in the Bhagavad Gita 15.15, Krishna says, Vedanta krit vedavit eva chaham. I am the compiler of the Vedanta and I am the knower of the Vedas. Vyasadeva is an incarnation of Krishna and consequently Krishna is the compiler of Vedanta philosophy. Therefore, Krishna clearly knows the purport of Vedanta philosophy. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, whoever hears Vedanta philosophy from Krishna is actually aware of the real meaning of Vedanta. The Mayavadis call themselves Vedantists, but do not at all understand the purport of Vedanta philosophy. Not being properly educated, people in general think that Vedanta means the Shankarite interpretation. Yes, so it's due to lack of knowledge in that they think it's Shankarite, because it's not complete, because it's all the Vedas, then that supports, then, you know, Krishna says, because he says he's the compiler, so he's not going to compile something else. So Chandrasekhar is pointing out that's all you hear going on in Varanasi. So he says it's very kind of Tapan Mishra that he speaks about Krishna. And so then that's a nice thing. 2.17.97-98. Sri Chandrasekhar Avaidya continued, my dear Lord, we too think of your lotus feet incessantly. Although you are the omniscient supreme personality of Godhead, you have granted us your audience. My Lord, I have heard that you are going to Vrindavana. Please stay here at Varanasi for some days and deliver us, for we are your true servants. Srila Prabhupada, although Chandrasekhar is an eternal servant of the Lord, he humbly presented himself as fallen, and therefore requested the Lord to deliver him and Tapan Mishra, his two servants, meaning Lord Chaitanya's two servants. Yeah, I was thinking, Tapan Mishra's two servants? Okay. 2.17.99-103. Tapan Mishra then said, My dear Lord, as long as you stay at Varanasi, please do not accept any invitation other than mine. Even though he had not made such a plan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained for 10 days at Varanasi, being obliged by the request of his two servants. At Varanasi, there was a Maharashtrian Brahmana who used to come daily to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This Brahmana was simply astonished to see the Lord's personal beauty and ecstatic love for Krishna. When the Brahmanas of Varanasi would invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to lunch, the Lord would not accept their invitations. He would reply, "I have already been invited somewhere else." Every day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused their invitations because he feared associating with Mayavadi sannyasis. Srila Prabhupada. A Vaishnava sannyasi never accepts an invitation from a party who considers Mayavadi sannyasis and Vaishnava sannyasis to be one and the same. In other words, Vaishnava sannyasis do not at all like to associate with Mayavadi sannyasis, to say nothing of eating with them. This principle must be followed by the sannyasis of the Krishna consciousness movement. That is the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, given by his personal behavior. So that was why in the joking thing, then you had Lord Nityananda and Advaitacharya. Then one of them says, "I don't know, I'm sitting next to an impersonalist here," so like that. 217-104. There was a great Mayavadi sannyasi named Prakashananda Saraswati who used to teach Vedanta philosophy to a great assembly of followers. Srila Prabhupada. Sripad Prakashananda Saraswati was a Mayavadi sannyasi, and his characteristics have been described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda, chapter 3, 36-40. Then, yeah. Quoted from there. The Vedas have the audacity to say, "I have no hands, no legs." Oh, what is this? What is this one? Oh, this is in Prabhupada's purport. Yeah? Because it's in square brackets. Okay. The Vedas have the audacity to say that I have no hands, no legs, no mouth, and no eyes. There is a mischievous sannyasi living in Kashi who teaches this to his students. That rascal tries to mutilate my transcendental form. He studies the Vedas and teaches others, but he does not accept my transcendental form. As a result of such blasphemy, he has been attacked by the dreaded disease leprosy. But he cannot understand the reason for this affliction. Mm-hmm. I am the Lord of all sacrifices, the Supreme Lord Vishnu. There are no imperfections in my transcendental form. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are always engaged in glorifying my supreme transcendental position and nature. A mere touch of my body can spiritualize and purify everything. Yet, that rascal is so insolent that he proclaims that my transcendental form is non-existent. Okay, so this is then from the Chaitanya Bhagavat about his characteristics and how he doesn't accept them. In the Madhya Kanda, chapter 20, 33-40, it is said, a sannyasi named Prakashananda, living in Kashi, has the audacity to try and inflict pain upon my person. He is the teacher of Vedanta philosophy, but does not accept the existence of my supreme form. I have punished him by making him contract leprosy, and yet he fails to understand. The entire unlimited creation is a manifestation of my energy. Still, he impudently maintains that this manifestation is false. Murari, you are my trusted servitor, so I am telling you the truth. Those who do not respect my form and personality, they inevitably perish. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Ananta, and all the demigods serve the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord as their very dearest object. The mere touch of the Lord's body can cleanse one of all contamination, and yet these shameless rascals deny the Lord's form. Truly, I declare to you that I, the Supreme Lord, my dear servitors and all their servants are all manifestations of the absolute truth. My transcendental abode and activities are the absolute reality. Anyone denying their existence and veracity verily inflicts countless wounds upon my body. And so then it comes back. Okay, continue with the purport. Being an impersonalist, Prakashananda Saraswati used to explain the absolute truth as being without hands, legs, mouth, or eyes. In this way, he used to cheat the people by denying the personal form of the Lord. Such a foolish person was Prakashananda Saraswati, whose only business was to sever the limbs of the Lord by proving the Lord impersonal. Although the Lord has form, Prakashananda Saraswati attempted to cut off the hands and legs of the Lord. This is the business of demons. The Vedas state that people who do not accept the Lord's form are rascals. The form of the Lord is factual. For Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vaidaish cha sarved aham eva vedyaha. When Krishna says aham, he says I am, which means I, the person. He adds the word eva, which is used for conclusive verification. Thus, by studying Vedanta philosophy, one must come to know the Supreme Person. Whoever describes Vedic knowledge as impersonal is a demon. One becomes successful in life by worshipping the form of the Lord. The Mayavadi sannyasis deny the form of the Lord, which delivers all fallen souls. Indeed, the Mayavadi demons try to cut this form to pieces. Yeah. Because the point is, Asura means that you accept the position of the Lord. Asura means, it just means not Asura. So, atheistic means it's non-theistic. Right? Like that. And so, they're atheistic because they don't accept the person. They don't know. They don't know the complete whole. They know part, some little bit of Brahman. Some you know, bit of knowledge. But they're only accepting that part and not the rest of it. So, it's not complete. You know, just be if I only accept a certain portion of a person, right? You know, like that. Like I'll only come to their house and sit in the living room, but I won't interact with them and the family and that. Yes. You know, so I'm dealing nicely with the room, but I won't interact with them. Mm-hmm. It's not that they'll, oh, see how nicely he's you know, sitting in our living room and saying what a great living room it is, you know, like that. And no, that's not gonna. So that's the whole point is they don't. Because of that atheistic nature, then that's the demoniac mentality. Huh? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.